road. It's called a rainbow road.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to On the Little Podcast with Jordan and Eric. Today's a very special day. This is episode 87, October 27th, 2020. OVO's Eric Dominguez turns 25.
What up, y'all?
How do you feel, man?
It's okay. We're going to have my future studio album debut called Bald Head. Actually, Hot for My Nuts.
You said Bald Head?
Bald Head.
It's funny because you're actually growing your hair out, so it's the exact opposite.
I feel like I have a bald head all the time.
Do you like? I should be sitting in front of you, shouldn't I?
It's fine. We're in the same room, and I'm not even looking you in the eyes.
Yeah. Does it work better for you if you look at me, bud?
I mean, it's a more natural conversation. I'm just staring at a ghost.
All right. I'll sit up. This is episode 87. We didn't do it last week. I'm sure people missed us. If you missed us.
Sorry. It's scheduling. It was just schedule.
We appreciate it. We were we were actually seeing Tim Dillon live last Tuesday, and we record on Tuesdays.
Yeah. And then after that, I had class on Wednesdays, and then...
Then the weekend came, and I was with my girlfriend.
Yeah, we watched a special movie.
So I wanted to start the podcast off by saying happy birthday, obviously.
Thanks. It's good to be alive, right?
It's good to be alive.
Right, everybody. Love living. I just want to get in that car over there and just drive away.
I remember, how old am I, 27? So I remember 2 years ago when I was 25. And you were not, and I would always say, when you're 25, you'll understand. Now I got to ask you.
Do I understand? I understand, man. I get it.
Been spending a lot of time at home. You've been doing schoolwork. You've been doing a lot of other podcasts out there with other friends and
on the
podcast network.
We'll have a name for it, but it's a podcast network that we're building. I love the one that me and Colin just started, Too Big to Bail. If you could check it out, I'd like
explain
to...
that. Explain that for
so listening. it's a movie centric podcast where we spin a wheel of bad movies that me and Colton both made separate lists. Both have awful movies, and each week we spin each other's wheel, and then we watch those movies together. And the person, like, we both have a movie we have to watch, so I have to watch the movie from Colton's list, and he has to watch one from my list, and we have to come up with three positive things about the shitty movie. It's very fun. We have episode 1 and 2 out, then we have a Christmas special coming out of, we watched Hubie Halloween.
Oh, hell yeah.
We reviewed that, and
it's on Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix, Hubie Halloween, so if you want to catch it and then listen to our little show about it. It's quite funny. I do a little...
Now, I need to know, is this show that you guys do, is it required that the listeners watch the movie?
No, we don't. No, we go over the movie in detail. So you don't have to watch it. Some of these movies are
very old and very bad.
Very old and very bad, yes. For example, the first week we watched S. Darko and Pluto Nash.
And I've never seen S. Darko, but it's the sequel to Donnie Darko.
It's the infamous sequel.
But different actors.
Same actress who played the sister in the first one. That's the only...
Maggie Gyllenhaal?
No, it's not Maggie. The younger sister. There's two sisters. Maggie played the older sister. Her name was Samantha, and it's about her, and it's off so bad. And Pluto Nash, Eddie Murphy, great Pluto Nash.
Now, what is that? So what is the... It's just two movies and one podcast about?
Yeah, two movies, one podcast, 30 minutes about each movie. And then, so if we fail to, if we just can't make it through the movie, we have a third wheel, which is full with like the worst sitcoms that you could possibly think of.
Like The Big Show Show or Young Sheldon.
Young Sheldon. We got
is Gabriel
Richie
Iglesias
Rich
on there?
No, he's not, but he should be on there. I'll put him on there. We have The Caveman Show, the famous 2009 show, The Cavemen, about the Geico cavemen. that show has like 6 episodes on YouTube.
Oh yeah, that was a small little running show for a while, right?
It's on YouTube if you ever want to watch it. It's very bad.
Right.
And
you also have High Vertical with our boy
sports
Nick.
Podcast. We do it with Nick. That's fun. That's probably the easiest one to do.
It's just a weekly conversation.
Stuff happening, always stuff to talk about. That one's fun too, so check it out. And that's all I'm doing. I mean,
You're you've still been
podcast mogul in the making. I'm also on Colton's podcast, the Creative Indifferences podcast, for a special Halloween episode.
Right.
So if you want to catch that, catch it.
Yeah, everybody listen to those, check those out. Obviously, we have ours. Should we have told people that we took a break last week? It doesn't matter.
I mean, it wasn't even a break. It was just a scheduling conflict.
Yeah, we didn't plan it, and I didn't let anybody know.
Yeah.
I always figured we'll just do it next week and they'll get it when they'll get it.
Yeah. Nothing happened. No drama or nothing. Just, we were just busy.
As I said, we did see Tim Dillon live last week. And I know, for some listeners who might not know, Tim Dillon's just an up and coming stand up comedian. He's from Long Island. He has a history of growing up in or listening to conservative radio, right?
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh.
And he has that type of energy, in my opinion, that right leaning conservative energy. But he's very, liberal, but he knows
like what common sense is.
Yeah, he's kind of just an observer of politics in the world, and his commentary on it is just fucking hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
He's so creative and genius how he connects all these dots.
He's like, we went to there was two openers, the host of the show and then his opener, and like they all like bring this similar energy, like the whole room was just like kind of just like
we're warming
laughing,
up, we're
warming
giggling
up. But man, when Tim Dillon came, it was just like electric. It was so cool.
It was cool. Now this was
he
your
commanded
first
the stage.
This was your first
live
action.
Yeah, the first time seeing stand-up. Yeah.
Stand-up. Event, live action stand-up event, whatever.
Live action, baby.
It's live action.
No CGI.
I was trying to remember. Now, I've seen Dimitri Martin live in L.A. Spontaneously. I know my mom saw Tiffany Haddish when I was in California over the holiday. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a couple other comedy shows. But, yeah, I just want to know, like, what did you think of it as a live watching stand-up comedy?
I mean,
live?
I gotta say, Side Splitters, the place that we went to. Oh god, I should have looked the name, but like that place was like so shitty.
I didn't have a very high opinion of it, just like the stage
was like in the corner. It was like not even a real stage. There was no like.
It's like attached. It's like attached to a shopping plaza.
Shopping mall, yeah. And there's like no like he like they have to come onto the stage from walking from the crowd,
from the front.
Which I hate that.
Yeah, I hate that too.
I hate
because we saw like, Tim Dillon come in.
Yeah, he was like pacing back. You could tell he was nervous. Like, how could he not be?
I wasn't sure if he was nervous, but it looked like he was like.
Of course, it's like some nerves, you know.
You know, he was amping himself up because when he went on stage, he was just
lit. He was lit on fire. Yeah.
He was very funny. It's located in Tampa on Dale Mabry. Dale Mabry near like the Chuck E. Cheese for those who are Tampa locals. So it's not like when I saw Dimitri Martin live, it was like downtown LA at this like an actual theater.
Yeah.
And there was like a balcony. This was like a fucking, like I said, behind a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. But it was packed, dude.
Yeah, it was packed. It was a packed house. They didn't give a fuck about COVID or social distancing. We wore our masks.
Some people didn't wear their masks.
It was a great show. He's hilarious. Like his podcast, The Tim Dillon Show. I love it. It comes out every Sunday. He's funny.
Had Lil Xan on.
Good interview.
Yeah, it was a good conversation.
As a rap fan, I watched Lil Xan to see like, because I like to watch the young rappers as they kind of age, like Lil Pump, who's a nightmare right now. But watching them grow and like Tim Dillon knows nothing of rap really. So when I kind of cringed in a moment during the Lil Xan interview where. Tim Dillon was asking him like, oh, like the littles, that's a craze. Like a lot of rappers are doing that. And Lil Xan's like, yeah, like it was trendy a few years ago when I started, like, you know, when I started in the SoundCloud game and the face tats was a thing. And I'm like, not once did he mention Lil Wayne. I'm like, Lil Wayne is the original little. He's the original face
he's the
tat.
The original little.
The original lean sipper. Like he can fucking spit. He's a goat. Obviously love Lil Wayne. But it kind of made me sad, like realizing time goes forward and like these young kids come up and think that they start something. And I'm like, Lil Wayne was huge.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 zone.
Yeah. and obviously Tim Dillon was just, he was very generous. Lil Xan's like fucking 22 or 23 years old.
Yeah.
And I think Tim Dillon's 35 and he was a coke addict that in his teens and his early teens.
Legend of a human being.
It's cool to see him as a guy that obviously struggled with addiction in his past and he's overweight. He knows that and he's out of shape, but he still managed to like, you know, build something for himself. And it's inspirational. I'm inspired by the guy.
You're inspired by Tim Dillon.
I'm inspired by Tim Dillon's ability to just get out there and do it because there's a lot of people not doing what they want to be doing. And like, I consider us like kind of in the middle, like we're almost doing what we want to be doing, but we're still not at 100%.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Tim Dillon show was fucking awesome. It was a We also went shout out to our friends Nick and Alex. They all came and
Kurt
as well came through. Kurt comes through as always. Also, I was very drunk that show.
Really?
I was very drunk. Well, I had two drinks at the restaurant before.
Two nice then, big beers.
And then we smoked some weed.
Yeah.
And then I was feeling the show. Yeah. And I'm sorry I left a mess in your car, by the way, dude.
I was traveling with a raccoon. Jordan leaves a huge mess in my car.
A huge fucking mess. I was so embarrassed. Did you clean it?
Yeah, I cleaned it. Yeah.
Dope.
That would be the, that picture will be.
No. It's your birthday, bro. I wanted to put a picture of you with the gold chain.
Go for it.
Or we could put this picture of Ethan dressed up in drag.
No, we can't use Ethan's face.
Cool. So we talked about Eric's birthday. We promoted Eric's podcast. We talked about Tim Dillon.
Timmy D.
I'm going through the docket here for those listening. We have quite the show stacked to make up for the missing week.
This is a Jordan classic.
Yeah, yeah. The election, you want to talk about that at all? It's happening.
It's happening.
Next week?
Next week.
We're going to be recording on election day next week.
Oh, God. It's going to be election week.
You want to go to a polling station and record an episode?
No.
Just me and you?
No. No.
Come on. You can wear a Biden-Harris shirts. No. I'll wear a Biden-Harris shirt. You wear a Trump shirt.
No.
And we do a podcast.
I'll wear a Latinos for Trump shirt.
Latinos for Trump, baby.
I don't know where. Oh, I was going to my employer's house, and
your female caller,
my female caller's house, and her neighbors had Latinos for Trump shit all over their lawn.
Hell yeah, dude! I gotta say something, because I don't really publicize or talk about my political leanings publicly. Like, I kind of just keep it on the low because I'm still not entirely even sure how I feel about politics. But one thing is like. I really don't, when people are Trump supporters, I really don't have a vitriolic, like, hate for them that a lot of young people have. And because it's like a lot of people vote for Trump, like, for economic reasons. Like, they might care about the social reasons least, but a lot of them just want the economic freedom that Trump provides. Like, they don't really give a fuck about, I mean, no offense, they don't give a fuck about Black Lives Matter. I don't think it's wrong for them or right for them to not give a fuck about it, but I don't hate people that want Trump in office to help their 401ks or their bank accounts or travel or whatever. Because I don't have any of that stuff. And I care about the social issues, so I can't actually vote for Trump in good conscience. But I understand why people would want to, if that's all I'm saying. How do you feel about that?
More time.
Because your family also, yeah. You know.
As time moves on, I like them less every year.
You like them less every year?
Yeah, because at first, when it first happened, I was like, oh, yeah, I get that.
I've inversed. I was a person that was, I couldn't understand why you would want to. And as time has gone on.
I would understand because like.
Loosened up.
Time, it just, everything has gotten worse.
Like, yeah, and it's hard to deny. It's hard to deny that.
And people who deny it, I just like, I can't abide. The dude cannot abide, dude.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say anything in public if I see a Trump person or if I'm talking to someone and then like you tell me, oh, that dude voted for Trump. I'd be like, fuck. Now I'm just like, after I leave here, I'm not going to talk to him.
It definitely gives them a weird vibe,
dude. It's a weird vibe.
I don't know.
I just can't abide.
I guess it's like, I know a lot personally and it's like some of them just don't even like the people that don't, for example, have any black people in their lives. They really don't understand or connect or care about the black struggle at all. They can't even like pretend to care. It's not okay, but like I also speak up in those environments, but I also see both sides of the coin. Like same with a lot of black communities. Like whenever I see people of color of any background doing the same thing to white people, like we need white slaves or anything like that, I don't agree with that either.
Yeah, but those, I feel like that's a bigger minority than Trump voters.
Sure. America is also inherently just corrupted and leans one way. Like, we know that this system doesn't work particularly well for people of color. Or
yeah, I just feel like that. There's a chance everything can get better with Biden than
Kanye West?
Yeah, or Trump. I just... Don't look. I don't feel comfortable looking to him to deal with China or Russia.
Right,
or
right. But when it comes to like, he always brags about the economy and shit. It's like,
I mean, that's what Trump's doing right now. And then like, the economy is great, but like there's 200,000 people
exactly
dead.
And then at the end of the day, it's like, where do you fall in that argument?
Yeah. Also, just like people who just don't think that like healthcare is a human right. I just don't understand. I can't. I honestly don't understand those types of people. Like, you gotta pay for your healthcare. Are you kidding me?
No, I don't.
Like, what? Don't are you kidding? Either. Like, I honestly, like, that to me breaks my brain. It's like, you don't think everybody should be.
Dude, the fact that like I have
born with the right to go to the hospital and then pay an arm and a leg to get treated. Like
if I go to
so
the ER for
up.
Some shit and they send me a $500 bill, that fucks me up for like 3 years.
Yeah. Remember when you had the whole deal and you had to pay you owe like over $1,000? That's so fucked up.
And I got fined by the government for not having health insurance.
That's so fucked, dude.
Yeah, it's fucked, dude.
It's so fucked.
It's fucked.
And like everywhere else in the every European country, like Japan, like every advanced civilization offers free healthcare. I'm not sure about China. We're not talking about China. We don't like China.
We don't like China.
And we're not talking about Russia because we don't like Russia.
China is spying on us through our PS5s now.
Hey, man, my PS5 is coming and it's Chinese. It got some Chinese mittens on it.
And your Genshin Impacts.
And my
shit.
Genshin Impact. But I don't know. I just... This election is very important. As people will say, have been saying, it's the most important election of our time.
For sure.
I totally agree.
For sure.
The stakes are very high right now. I would rather people just vote, just choose between Biden or Trump. I don't understand why people would vote third party election.
Just to be clear, I'm not afraid to say it. I am voting for Biden. Yeah. So, but I'm not incredibly motivated to vote for one or the other. Or I'm sorry, I'm not incredibly motivated to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala. But I'm like, I kind of prefer what I see right now as the lesser of two evils.
Yeah,
honestly.
It's the lesser of two evils, and I would rather go down swinging with somebody who has some sort of dignity for human rights or just human life, and is not like an embarrassment. Like I don't know, like, I feel like if people are traveling overseas and you tell them you're American the last 4 years, they just, like, laugh in your face.
Yeah.
You have the orange man.
It's not good.
It's like, you gotta actually, like...
See, that's another thing, too, I've noticed in my life is, like, there are people that are stuck to their neighborhoods and their cities and their towns their whole lives. Mm-hmm. So they have no perspective on that. So when it comes to, like, the American perception in foreign countries, there's a good subsect of people who just either don't give a fuck and they're voting for Trump for other reasons, or they don't know because they don't travel. Mm. As I grow and I travel, I see more and I learn more and I realize, like, people, you can't blame people fully because there are some kind of like life class,
just
like
the,
classism comes into play. And if you don't have as much opportunity
as
another
person. It's just the system, man. It's just an indictment on the system for people like that. Like,
yeah.
Our education system is shit.
The poor people stay poor. The dumb people
yeah.
stay dumb. The rich people get rich. If you get lucky, you can make it through.
Yeah. It's like baptism by fire, pretty much. Like,
and it's the annoying thing is that it's all off chance. Because like,
dude.
We were born where we were born, but people that are born in Mexico try to come here, and then we treat them like shit.
Yeah, and that John Oliver posted they released an episode where he was talking about
asylum
and that old grandma.
Yeah.
Old grandma, like how she came over here with her like granddaughter and like they've been holding them separate detained for months now. She's like, I just came here for help, and she's like crying.
She can't go back home
because
she's going to get murdered.
Yeah, going to get murdered, and she has to stay here in this weird prison. Like, so sad.
And I remember in 2016 when Trump was running, I was dating a girl that was part of the DACA program, and she was like mortified for her life that they would send her back to Uruguay.
Mm.
And so it's like, at that time I was like, oh man, like
he's still trying to get rid of it. Yeah. It's so weird.
But like, that's what I'm saying though. Before I met her, I was not necessarily concerned with that issue. Like, I have Mexican family and some of my family's been deported to Mexico, but I don't go because I have a fear of being abducted and like held for ransom. And I've been to Mexico. But as I get older and I realize what's going on, I'm like, I don't want to get abducted. There's a good chance.
I honestly do. I never want to go to Mexico just because those abduction stories sound awful.
Yeah,
sounds so terrible. They're so, like, it could happen in a second. You wouldn't even know.
My aunt and I talk about that a lot because and I both, as Mexican Americans, don't want to go. And we're looked at by some people like, you don't want to support your culture or like visit your culture. I'm like, it's not that, dude. It's like,
terrified to go.
Yeah. The one or two times I've went, they question the border of patrol questioned my sister, like, if she was actually from America, and they questioned me, and I was a kid, but I remember my response was like, dude, I'm from Florida. It's like, I don't even speak Spanish.
I was listening to a podcast where this guy, he was like, when he was in his 20s, he would go to Tijuana all the time because they had like just prostitutes and drugs and stuff.
My uncle wanted to take me on my 18th birthday.
He went and like he got like the cartel like fucking abducted him and like was like just almost kept him over there with him and his friend, and they somehow got lucky enough to where the like they got out of there. Like,
I'll keep it on the down low out of respect for my family. I don't know who's listening, but there is a story in my family of something similar to that happening. And it did not end well, and I don't want to obviously make it public.
Fuck that. I know. I just don't want to deal with that.
If you're listening, by the way, I love you. You know what I talk about. Love you. Yeah. So yeah, the election's happening. We gotta make some sort of a
decision. I respect people who vote for Trump way more than I respect anybody who votes for Kanye. Just that's facts. Fair.
And for the record, with the Kanye thing, I would never actually vote for Kanye in any reality. I already said I'm voting for Biden. I just think if someone were to vote for Kanye. First of all, you'd have to be kind of crazy to do that. Weird. Second of all, their heart's in a good place is all I'm saying.
I guess.
If they're going to actually vote for Kanye, their heart's in the good place. Yeah. In a good place. They're not trying to.
They just fit, like, again, just failed. Because
there was obviously Kanye was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he went into a lot of things he's been talking about for the last 5 years or so. And the whole argument, like Kanye splitting the black vote. People say that a lot, that he's splitting the black vote between Biden and Trump, and like it would take away votes from Biden. That isn't a case, but Kanye's reasoning is like, and also not Kanye's, but a lot of people see it as like, are you saying that a black person's vote is monolithic and they're all going to vote for Biden, and that there are not black people that'll vote for Trump, or there are not black people that'll vote for Kanye? Or are you also implying that no white people would vote for Kanye? Or anybody. So it kind of just general. Mm-hmm. I used him as a generalization, and he gets clumped in, and so like it creates this huge negative perception of like, Kanye is clearly not all the way an idiot as much as Trump is not. You know, Trump isn't also an idiot, but they're very similar human beings. And the fact that one is in office and one is trying to get in office, and people say that it's not possible. We saw what happened the last time.
He just had so much bad press.
Kanye?
Before he announced he was actually running for president.
Trump?
Like, no, Kanye. He just had much, like, his credit, like, his...
He has no actual chance of winning. Yeah.
But his reputation before he announced to run was already in the toilet with people. Yes. Like, he had the breakdown on TMZ.
Yes.
He was wearing the MAGA hat. Like,
yes.
His reputation was already trash, so I never really took him as a serious threat. It's just... Even then, I find it hard to believe that people will actually write him in. I would love to know the number of people who did that.
There's a good case in that, like, Kanye is you know what he's doing in a weird way, and this is me kind of just interpreting this on the fly. He's kind of creating a third party, or he's trying to like kind of create a legitimate third party. It's not fully formed, and it's a lot of ideas in a lot of different places. But he's like he essentially wants a visionary in the leader seat of the leader of the free world, and he wants to like. Progress society through like agriculture and community and like essentially all the things that we actually legitimately want. He just has like unrealistic ways of trying to make that happen, but it's the idea that's interesting because it's gonna not go away. This idea is now out there. He's been talking about it. Think about the amount of people that work with Kanye on these communes, on these properties that he has, that are kind of like following his lead, you know, and like people like me who I'm not all the way there, but I get what's going on in a weird, you know.
He should just buy his own country at this point.
Well, he's trying to build one in Wyoming. And so people are speculating it's going to become like a Waco, Texas situation where he's got like the media is going to frame it as a cult, the cult of Kanye. But people that follow Kanye and people that understand what's even like Dave Chappelle, that's why I respect Chappelle so much for standing next to him, because Chappelle gets it and Chris Rock gets it and these people get it. Kanye's just really misunderstood. But like he talked about trying to buy Universal Music Group. It's like a $33 billion company. Kanye is only 43 years old and he's got like $5 billion net worth. So he's saying he's going to try to buy the music industry and like restructure it so every artist has like legitimate contracts where they're not getting fucked. The stuff that Michael Jackson and Prince have been fighting for before they died. Mm-hmm. But then he, you know, the MAGA head thing looks crazy. But he's trying to, like, you know, schmooze these people and get into the positions of power. And it's a whole thing. I'm just saying, if somebody were to legitimately vote for Kanye, there's an argument to be made there. They're just a little, they're not really playing within the rules of the political system we have to play right now. But in 5 years, 10 years, who knows?
Sure. I'll give you that.
Well, if you're going to watch the episode, by the way, of the Kanye on Joe Rogan.
I'm not watching it.
There's a lot of that going on, but he's just firing on all cylinders right now.
It's too much. It's too a lot. It's too. It feels like an hour. I'd watch it for sure.
Mike Pedraza, shout out Mike, my coworker. He finished it, and I. But I know Caitlin couldn't finish it, and I know. I think Nick finished it. So, anyways, yeah, Borat 2. That's political.
Borat 2.
You watched it.
We watched it. It was really good. It was a nice little follow up to 2005's Borat.
2006, they say.
2006.
I thought it was earlier, but I looked into it. 2006.
2006. It was a very funny movie. It had more of a story than a Borat 1. He's trying to get his daughter to Mike Pence. It's very like the second half where it deals with like the quarantine time, because he was filming this up till quarantine. Mm-hmm. Was really interesting because he shacked up with like two QAnoners, and yeah, like they were just like, he had the time of his life just hanging out with them, like they made song. But if, dude, how would you feel if you're them and you watch this movie, you're like, oh shit, that's Borat?
It's so hard for me to believe that they didn't know who he was. Because like they had like in their house, they had the internet, they had technology, they had their phones, you know, they were chilling. Yeah. They were so just kind of like, you know, I don't know. It's, I don't know. But
I would love to hear this, like the real.
They also were kind of framed in like a positive light by the end of the movie, because they kind of befriended Borat. They, and it was kind of like
they drove him to like find his daughter, I think, in Washington from Texas,
something like that.
And they helped. They have significance in the.
It was such a weird,
interesting, like crazy, like I love like how he puts his shit together, because it's like so crazy.
Well, the first Borat was very like road trip esque. Mm-hmm. It felt like a road trip movie because they had to get from New York to L.A. This movie takes place primarily in Texas.
Yeah, I think the whole thing pretty much, right?
Yeah, and before and then during quarantine, mm-hmm. And as we've mentioned off recording many times. A year ago, 2 years ago, yeah. He was filming his other show.
Who is America?
Who is America?
Mr. America is Tim Heidecker's movie.
Right. And he was in a lot of disguise in Who is America? He was wearing disguises.
He was in triple disguise.
Triple disguise. He was Borat as Trump.
Borat is like a different character. Borat as like a weird... lady. He was,
I would
lady.
Be remiss to mention the actress that played his daughter, Maria Bakalova. Looked into it.
She's from Bulgaria.
She was amazing.
She was really good.
She was great. Hilarious.
Unknown.
She's gonna blow up after this for sure.
Yeah.
She's
gonna be in Black Widow 2. Play the evil character.
We got another one. Black Widow 3, huh? So yeah. Borat 2. Watch it. It was good. It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon.
Have you watched Eric Andre season 5?
I have not. Have you?
I have watched it.
The whole thing?
No, two episodes came out last night. Okay. Very funny. Very excited to see. Hannibal's gone.
I know. What's up with that?
He just leaves. He's like, I quit. And it was like, Hannibal finally quits. And then it was like, oh, he left his toothbrush. We can clone him. They clone him. They made Bannibal.
Oh.
It's this big other black guy. And
gotcha,
like,
gotcha.
And then he leaves. And then Felipe Esparza takes over.
Oh, shit.
Who's awesome. I love Felipe Esparza. He'll be funny on the show.
Hell yeah. I'm excited for Eric Andre season 5. He removed all the hair of his body.
Removed all the hair and gained like a bunch of weight.
Yeah. And I know every season he's done something wild like to his hair. Like he said he like. Got the Cat Williams perm, and then he had one where he like didn't wash it and it was all gross and frizzy. Now he's hairless
completely.
Where will he go next?
His On the Street bits were really funny.
On the Street bits are great. Do you think he filmed those and his stand-up special at the same time?
Maybe.
Because his special, yeah. Stand-up special, I'm not sure, came out like 5 months, 3 months ago.
Season
months ago.
4 of Eric Andre aired in 2016. And it's 2020. It's been 4 years.
Yeah, and I guess he's done a movie. He's done a movie in that
time. The movie's not even out yet.
No, he's done the Tiffany Haddish movie.
It's not out yet.
It's not out yet? No, but he filmed it.
It's done, but it's not out yet.
Since 2016, he's filmed it, right?
Yeah.
And then he did a stand-up special. And then
he went on tour. Touring. He toured the Eric Andre show, which I hope he does again, because if he does it again, I will be going. And don't care where. I'll drive to Atlanta.
You drive to Kentucky?
Man, if he did a show in Kentucky, that'd be strange.
New York City.
No, there has to be a closer one. He's coming to Atlanta again.
Yeah, Atlanta's got to happen. Do people do shows in Alabama, like in the South?
Stand-ups do.
Like Theo Von.
Mobile.
Birmingham. Mobile, that's not too far if you ever wanted to go to a show.
I'm not driving to Mobile, Alabama.
Come on, bro. What do you think of our boy Tom Holland as Nathan Drake in Uncharted? Our boy?
I don't know. I wish they were making this movie.
I can't believe it's actually happening.
Me too.
That movie's been in development since, what, 2011?
For so long. Since the first game came out, they said they were going to make a movie.
I remember it was Mark Wahlberg as Nathan Drake.
Oh, my God. That's so long ago.
And now he's apparently Sully.
He looks terrible. He's so short. Sully's supposed to be like
honestly, remember the movie Sully with Tom Hanks?
Let's get Tom Hanks to play Sully. They can't afford Tom Hanks.
Yeah, but he was amazing. Oh, dude, Tom Hanks was in Borat, too. Spoilers.
He was in Borat, too, at the end.
I spoiled the fuck out of that. Yeah. I'm sorry, y'all. I was on a tangent.
But the context is very funny. We will not ruin some context.
Yeah, I mean, the whole movie, you should watch it. Rudy Giuliani's in there as well.
Oh, yeah. Big scandal.
Big scandal. Big scandal.
Big.
Damn, the Uncharted shit happened last week. See, yeah. That's what happens when you miss a week.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. We'll see.
It's a Sony Pictures
film? It's a PlayStation-like picture. It's the first, I think, the PlayStation. Remember they have those now?
Yeah, they have a PlayStation movie studio now.
PlayStation Productions or whatever.
And also we got that Netflix Assassin's Creed announcement today.
Yeah.
Live action, they say. But we saw what happened with Legend of Aang, The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Live action, that got shut down. Mm. Well, it's still happening. But
I wonder if this will definitely be a sequel to the movie. Because the movie is canon. They cannot retcon the movie.
They spent a lot of money on that Assassin's Creed movie.
Yeah. So it's definitely going to be a weird live action thing where they reference Michael Fassbender's character a lot.
I'm so over Assassin's Creed, and I have a fucking tattoo of it.
Biggest mistake of your life.
Yeah, I know.
That and the... And the dragon.
Yeah. They stick with you for life.
Which one would you cover up first?
The dragon.
Because
the Assassin's Creed one's on my leg, so I don't really care. But the dragon's on my ass. Just kidding. Yeah, man, it's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. Fuck Assassin's Creed. Are you playing Valhalla this fall when that comes out?
No, too many games.
Too many games, and now fucking Cyberpunk got delayed again.
Don't even get me started. Now, here's the reason why I'm disappointed. It comes out the Friday we're in Denver.
So, but you're not bringing your PS5?
No, man. I have to deal with like 3 days of like trying to avoid Twitter and trying to avoid spoilers. It's going to suck.
That's easy. You better not be on Twitter when you're in Colorado. You better be living it up.
I'll be living it up.
Don't go on Twitter. Exist off Twitter for that week and then post all your pictures when you come back.
Okay. I'll try.
Or post
if we all do it. If we all do it, which I don't think we will because Kurt is like looking.
I can do it.
Kurt is going to be he's Tinder hopping right now. Yeah, he won't be listening to this, but.
He asked me, he goes.
Are you going to be on Tinder? I'm like, no.
You know, he did to me. He goes, why'd you get a girlfriend right before we're going to Colorado, dude? And I'm like, what? I'm not trying to fuck any random bitch in Colorado. No offense to the ladies. But you know what I'm saying?
Kurt must be fucked up in the head if he thinks he's going to bring up some fucking Colorado whore to our
Airbnb. Watch the language, the females, dude. Respect the. It's all about the respect.
It's all about the respect. Colorado.
I don't want
snatch.
No random girl in my Colorado place because COVID.
He can go over there. He can go fine. He can go to her place, but.
I don't want no COVID up in there.
No. We're already like dancing with the fucking devil right now with going there, like going out and stuff.
What if we go and it burns down while we're there?
What do you mean, bird?
Colorado, the fires.
I mean, it'll be cold enough. The snow's going to get it.
Hey, yeah.
It was snowing there this weekend. Really bad blizzard.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
I don't have enough warm clothes.
You got to start buying, dude.
Money. I need the Trump stimulus check.
I've been buying like gloves.
Yeah,
and
you're rich, dude.
But I've been buying it weeks apart.
Yeah, you're rich, dude. I have bills to pay.
I have a car payment and I'm not working, man. I got a phone.
My rent's too much.
Yeah, you got rent. That's a big thing.
Yeah, and everything else I do. But, it's going to be cold. So I'm excited, but I'm scared.
Go to Goodwill.
Yeah, I should, right?
Go to Goodwill. You can find Marshalls. You'll find some decent stuff
budget. You're right. I'm over here thinking I want to fucking buy like a Ryan Gosling Harrison Ford coat.
No, here, give me a second.
I've already seen it. You already showed me your jacket. I love that. Uh-huh. I just killed your vibe.
So it's a big, big winter coat I bought from Burton. They're apparently a good...
Burlington Coat Factory?
Burlington, Burton. It's a big coat. I love it.
We're sorry to interrupt this episode, but we have to talk about our sponsor, Quip. With Quip. Imagine. They're not sponsoring us, but we could pretend. What you got next, buddy?
Godzilla anime. It's coming out. It's Ooh. Made by two really good studios, Studio Bones and Studio Orange. And
these are Japanese-based anime studios?
Yes, these are Japanese. One of them is really good at 2D. The other one's really good at 3D. So it's going to be a mixture of both.
Yeah, it looks like a mixture of both. It's like fucking sketchy, like Devilman Crybaby-esque like art.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I describe it. Looks cool, though. I'm real excited. I love Godzilla. Yeah.
Coming out next year.
Shout out to my boy and Colton's boy and Nico's boy, Jet Jaguar.
Oh, he is, isn't it?
A character all three of us uniquely love.
Jet Jaguar.
That's actually how Nico and I became friends.
Really?
Yep. Because we were sitting around a bonfire talking about Godzilla and our favorite monsters. And I was like, mine's Jet Jaguar. And he was like, me too. And I was like, we're friends. Guys have it easy. We become friends off stuff we like. That's how I became friends with Lawrence. We saw each other's shoes. And he's like, you skateboard? And I was like, yup. And then now we live together.
Can we be best friends?
Pretty much. What is that from? Step Brothers?
Yeah. Are we best friends?
I'm thinking of something else then.
Mm. What is this, Unkrind?
I was supposed to say Uncharted.
Oh.
That was like a rapper. I made a typo.
Gaming PS5. The embargoes are lifting. I was totally wrong on how many people were. So many people have the PlayStation 5 right now. It's infuriating. Yeah. I gotta say, before we get into PS5 stuff, they also sent out Xboxes, and Xbox also sent out fridges.
Yeah, I saw that. Snoop Dogg had one.
Yeah, and they sent one to. That is such a waste of money that could have been going to someone who actually needed it.
Here's the thing. I was sitting at lunch today, and I was watching some news network that was on in the restaurant, and Microsoft was like, they were talking about Microsoft stocks and the market share for Microsoft going up right now. And I was kind of watching it like, oh, the Xbox is coming out. I guess the merge or like them buying Bethesda. I'm like, Microsoft has fucking big money to throw around right now. And obviously Bill Gates. And also you look distracted.
Jason Schreier just tweeted some details about the Cyberpunk 2077 thing.
Still mad about it?
Let me see. He tweeted.
Oh, boy.
This is breaking news. Cyberpunk 2077 is getting a 3-week delay, which is not news, is unusual, but probably won't change much for the developers, many of whom are going to be crunching into December anyway for post-launch patch. But I sure do hope reality is becoming clear to those who try to deny it. Look, a CD Projekt Red developer told me recently that they just clocked a 100-hour work week. Another former dev told me that they saw some of their friends there and they looked physically ill. So kind of get the fuck out with the but I work long hours. Two responses. Then somebody replied, how many developers do you think just found out today over Twitter? They literally said yesterday there would be no delays, just like a Reddit post. Seemed like the developers don't know what decisions are being made. Then Jason Schreier replied, it all of them found out the same time we did. CDPR sent out a internal email simultaneously with the public tweet. The email said they couldn't share the news earlier because of stock regulations.
Mm, you know what that sounds like to me? Business fucking with my art too much. Because I do, in terms of the crunch argument for game development, I do feel that it is a choice to work there. You know, any artistic endeavor doesn't have a time limit necessarily, but these businesses are creating deadlines, and like you said, the stocks are involved, right? Mm-hmm. And as we were just talking about before you got on that tangent, I was watching on the TV at the restaurant that Microsoft stocks were trending upwards, and I was thinking, like, is it from the launch of the Xbox? Is it like Bill Gates and potential coronavirus vaccine drama? Is it they bought Bethesda? And I'm like, they have huge money to throw around, so it's affecting the stock market, it's affecting the developers, it's affecting the consumers, because now you're upset. So I'm not upset.
I'm just like
not upset, but the game being delayed, like,
ain't very inconvenient. If it would have been like a couple days later when I got back, like that Tuesday, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'll come back, play Cyberpunk, that'd be awesome. But Now I have to fucking just wait while everybody else plays it. I'm already going to
That's a personal issue. I guess I'm talking about the crunch thing that you just read.
Yeah.
Because where do you fall on the crunch argument?
I'm very much leaning towards... I'm in the middle, but I lean towards, like, they get paid. They're not slave labor. Like, they get a lot of... They get paid a lot of money. When the game sells, it's going to sell insane amount of copies. Mm-hmm. Like, they do get paid very well. Does mental health have to play somewhat? Like, yes, the studio should be scheduled, managed better, but I mean, that's just the business. I mean, like, sorry.
Yeah, because like,
this isn't the first studio. Like, it's like, if you are getting into the video game developing, like in like AAA stuff, like you got to go in like knowing like you're going to be clocking in like these types of hours when it's like the game's coming is releasing in matter of like
weeks.
Well, like, it was weeks now, like a month and a, like a little month,
which
month
is still
and a
not
half.
That long,
and no, so it's like, it's not that bad. It's not that big of a push, but I understand the reason they're doing it is because it's coming to Xbox, like the original Xbox Ones, Xbox One X.
You can't even name all the Xboxes that are out there.
There's so many, like the previous generation's Xbox, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4 Pro, like they got to optimize this shit.
They should
shit
not optimize that shit for the original PlayStation 4. At this point, you gotta have a pro or
but
up, dog.
They can't. It's gonna be really weird watching somebody play Cyberpunk on the base vanilla PS4.
Well, that's like watching Lawrence play Persona 5 Royal.
Like
on
Lawrence
his
base
is PS4.
Dude, if Lawrence tries to play Cyberpunk, his PlayStation just like might like put on a fedora and walk out the house.
His PlayStation would fucking take off into the sky.
Like, it was just like, all right, sorry. It's like a dad going out to get cigarettes. He ain't coming back.
Shit, I wonder if your PS4 Pro could even handle Cyberpunk.
It's going to sound like a fucking jet engine. That's why I'm so happy to get rid of that shit. But I'm actually excited. Like, as soon as I get my PS5, I'm going to do the data transfer, and I'm going to put that motherfucker on offer.
How much on offer up?
$150.
Nice. Who do you think will buy it? Like a 13-year-old
crackhead.
Kid? A water person?
A water person.
Is that the new PS5?
Is that the PS5? Sure, man.
The Florida, the all gas, no brakes Florida guy?
I'll throw in all my stupid accessories. Like, you can just fucking have it. Just give me $150 for my trip to Colorado.
Yeah, man. This holiday is going to be fucking nuts for games. The PS5 is huge. Size concern you at all?
The size... It is big. It's like if you're a small person, like
if you're a small person, like Jared,
Not, I wouldn't say like Garrett. If like Garrett had the PS5, it'd be like his whole torso,
his whole chest.
Yeah. Like, but apparently it's like only 9 pounds.
I mean, it looks light. It looks light. It looks large though. But are you gonna have it vertical, horizontal?
I'm gonna try both. I think I'll probably end up having it vertical.
Vertical. Yeah. Because the vent's going upwards and all that.
We'll see how it looks vertical in that corner. But
good thing you have a lot of space. If you have a small entertainment system,
yeah,
you got to probably figure something else out.
I'm just trying to find Nibel. Jim Ryan did a huge interview with Reuters. He said something really interesting. He said PlayStation has pre-sold as many PS5 consoles in the first 12 hours in the United States as in the first 12 weeks for its predecessor, PlayStation 4.
To be fair, in 2013 when the PS4 launched, Amazon was huge because I had my I got Garrett's pre-order for the PS4 on Amazon. Amazon today and like media and how we can pre-order things today is way more advanced than it was in 2014. So it makes sense that the PS5 would out pre-order sell the PS4. But that's awesome news for the PS5 though. I didn't expect it to do that well. Unless he's lying.
Then he said in the article, he said it should be noted that the first 12 weeks refer to PlayStation 4's pre-order phase and not first 12 weeks post-launch.
Oh, so just the pre-order phase.
Just the pre-order phase. Also, Ryan says that the PlayStation will continue to grow its studio network organically. So that kind of just means they're not looking to acquire. They're just looking to build, which is kind of what
they've been doing.
They've been doing, and they've been like, they just they put out a job posting for PlayStation Malaysia.
Right.
So, and they said like that one was weird because it was like looking to work on a PlayStation classic franchise. So everybody's trying to figure out what it is.
Metal Gear Solid remake?
No, I would think it's going to be like a something, I don't know, a classic PlayStation. Because
Metal
series.
Gear Solid 1 remake is happening. Especially now that, like, I've seen Final Fantasy VII remake. I'm like, oh, yeah, Metal Gear Solid remake's happening. And the movie's rumored to come out in the next few years with Jordan Vogt Roberts. So who knows? Also,
could be Ape Escape.
Hey, I'd fuck with that.
I mean, it's set a classic PlayStation like franchise. So
I mean, isn't original Metal Gear PlayStation exclusive?
Yeah, but it's a Konami. It's a Konami thing. But we'll see. I'm excited. PlayStation looks like it's they're very, very bullish. Very bullish.
Yeah, the console war is definitely over in my eyes.
Yeah.
They're fighting two different wars now.
Yeah.
PlayStation's on doing their own thing, Xbox doing their own thing.
And they also said it's gonna be very hard for people to find it.
I know, I've been kind of keeping an eye peeled, and I haven't been able to find it anywhere.
Yeah, have you been to those websites that will like email you as soon as they come
online?
Yeah,
I'll wait. It's no big deal. Because like, I thought about it still, and it's like, Spider-Man Miles Morales is going to look fine on my PS4 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably get Call of Duty, actually. I've been thinking about that. I might get... I just want the controller, honestly, the DualSense.
Yeah, people are saying that like, it's...
I want it.
It's a slight... It's very good.
I want to buy it just to play with it.
Are you going to look on OfferUp for PS5?
Nah, I'm not paying more than what it's worth.
Yeah,
I'll just wait. Whatever.
It should be by the time we come back from Colorado, you should be able
to. I'm expecting next year, like January, February.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Tsushima Legends, I've been playing that. Very fun, very Destiny.
Yeah, it looks like Destiny.
Getting gear and stuff. It's more
for all the nerds out there.
All is very rewarding when it comes to like it gives you a lot of the stuff. Like if you play it's like a survival, like the 4-player mode is like survival gameplay, and then there's a co-op, which is like a story gameplay. And the survival one, like if you do like a high tier, high difficulty mode, you're gonna get better gear than what you came in with. But it's just random. You're not sure what you're going to get. But your score is going to go up. Your light level. There's the light level.
Oh, nice.
It's called your key. And then the raid is it dropping Friday.
Are you ready for it?
I am not ready for it. I need a couple more sessions of grinding.
Nice.
But I should be ready by Friday.
Yeah, I played a little bit of it. I did the tutorial and I fucked around in one. What was it? Story mode? There's like a story mode on
there's
there.
Story mode. Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool. I like that it's obviously free and that it's like it feels first party like polished. It doesn't feel buggy or gimmicky. Yeah, it's as a free multiplayer expansion for a game. It runs better and feels better than Avengers ever could.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
It's simpler. It's like as soon as you wrap your head around it, it doesn't really change much. The survival mode is like very simple but very fun. It's difficult when you get to the higher difficulties, and playing with your friends is fun. They accomplished that. The net code is really good. We've disconnected once.
Yeah.
And that was annoying, but that was just once.
Probably
they patched
an internet problem too.
Yeah. So I, very, very surprising.
As a multiplayer edition, it's awesome. Like
glad. Adds to the game. So if you never play Ghost of Tsushima and you buy it, you get like this sick single player in this like awesome multiplayer mode.
Is it sad that this free multiplayer addition to a game that was full price $60 feels like a blessing in today's era, where 5 or 10 years ago that was the norm? We just gave good multiplayer additions with our story modes.
Well, I would say they could have charged, like I could see 5 years ago them charging for it. Like, oh, you
well,
want
I guess
the...
I'm thinking like Gears, the original, like Modern Warfare 1, 2.
Yeah,
like,
but
the
I would say like
was free, like free.
Yeah, but I would say like the story. I understand why it came out, because it was just the story was so much that you really didn't. It was like Red Dead 2. The online didn't come out for that till like, I would say same time like 2.
Or Last of Us 2's multiplayer coming out in the future.
Yeah, I have no problem with games coming with like if
but all of those,
if you're crafting a single player and you want the single player to be good,
yeah,
I have no problem waiting for the multiplayer of something.
Right. What I'm saying is like those are all free additions though. Yeah. They didn't charge you even though Fortnite's free to play, you still got to pay for certain walls or whatever. But they didn't charge for this multiplayer edition.
No
microtransactions, but like it makes me more increasingly annoyed and pissed off at Avengers. I hate that game, dude. I hate everything that it stands for. I hate the business of it. I hate the development that went into that game. I wish that game didn't exist.
Me too.
It makes me so mad that I mean, people are enjoying it, but like it's so lazy. It's so lazy.
Incredibly.
And predatory. That's how I feel about a lot of these free-to-play games, though. But
yeah. I haven't played the new game plus mode. I started it. It's kind of cool. It starts off after like the title crawl when you see when it says Ghost of Tsushima for the first time. Mm-hmm. That's where the new game plus mode starts. So you don't have to do the tutorial and fight the guy.
Nice.
And you get a new horse. There's a new armor die guy.
Ooh.
New masks. So I'm going to wait to play it on my PS5 just because I don't feel like dealing with a gen engine in my room while I play a single-player game. So I'm excited to go back and play it on my PS5 and PS5. Also, have you been hearing about these PS4 games getting PS5 updates?
Yeah, which ones?
As far as I know, Last of Us Remastered got a patch for PS4. So when you start it, you know how in the beginning when you start the game for the first time, there's the dust that comes on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's like not there anymore. It takes 13 seconds for the game to load. It took like over a minute and 30 seconds.
On the PS5?
On the PS4.
On the PS4.
They released a patch that will come for the game for PS5, but it works on PS4.
Nice.
And Until Dawn now has no loading.
Ooh, what?
No loading at all anywhere.
How does a patch do that through a software update to your physical?
It probably compressed the game and made it a lot, I wouldn't say smaller, but probably just deleted.
Like you said, like took out particle effects from screens that don't really matter, like a death screen or something.
Like,
or
a lot of games use WAV files for audio files when you don't have to. You can't tell the difference between WAV and MP3.
Yeah.
So that's where like a lot of stuff comes in. Like Call of Duty, I would imagine, has insane amount of WAV files for those gun sound
every
effects.
Every gun sound, yeah. The clinking.
Insane. Because that game was all like labeled as like the sound design is amazing.
It is good. It is
good. But like it costs so much as far as memory goes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, and God of War is receiving it. It's not on PS4, but on PS5 it's going to be at 60 frames. It's already at 60 frames already, but
fuck yeah,
it's going to be 60 for 4K, which is.
I'm definitely going to be at your house when you have the PS5 just to watch it run and then touch it.
It's coming on, it should be here the 13th.
What are the chances that it gets delayed or canceled by Amazon?
And mine is through GameStop.
Oh, whoever.
It's not.
All right. I'm not hoping that it is.
I cannot have that thought. If they did that, I would be suing some people.
Would you raise hell?
I would raise hell, yeah.
Yeah. That's not.
I'd be like.
Because it happened to Colin.
I would like to speak to the manager.
It happened to Colin.
His pre-order got canceled? Well,
he pre-ordered like 3 from different places and one of them got canceled, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. That's why he said he did multiple. Real fast. I bought Crash 4. I caved. Bought it. I'm only into the third world or second world. It's awesome. It's awesome.
I want to play it. Can't wait to play it.
It's beautiful too. Like, so beautiful to look at. The characters, the colors, the sound is great. The music's great. The one of the mask voices is Billy from Billy and Mandy.
Really?
Yep. He's the first mask you meet. He's the voice of him.
He sounds like Billy?
He sounds like Billy or Invader Zim. So it was cool to hear his voice, like he's still around.
Mm. Does Crash talk?
He just goes, "Wow!" He just does that. He's like, "Ugh." It's grown on me. I used to fucking hate that Crash would make sounds like that, because I think in the Insane trilogy, or was it? No, it was in either Skylanders or something. He would
He had the Australian voice.
He would do voices. I'm like, please don't do this.
That's me, Crash Bandicoot.
But now he just goes like, "Ugh."
It's so much better,
and it's fine. I rather that.
Everybody else.
Also, a cute little Spyro floaty reference on the first episode, on the first level, the first episode. And it's also hard. It's already difficult. I'm seeing a challenge. I haven't lost or died, but there's certain runs where I had to do them multiple times, like to get it.
Hmm.
Kind of like Mario Galaxy esque puzzles in there.
Hmm.
So yeah, Crash 4 game of the year.
And have you beat FF7, Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Final Fantasy VII Remake, huh?
I think you got to come in and you got to kiss Daddy's ring. Yeah, because, you know, I got to hear it. I got to hear it on the podcast.
I got to hear it for Julian, too, because Julian, he put me onto it. I've never played a Final Fantasy ever. I've played Kingdom Hearts, so I guess that kind of counts.
It's a JRPG, but it's a JRPG light.
It's a JRPG light. But it's a heavier JRPG than Pokemon or lighter than Pokemon?
I would say it's like the level up or the level next up. Step.
Sure. So yeah, as my first like straight through Final Fantasy game, I gotta say I'm glad it was Final Fantasy VII, because my entire life, that's the only thing I've known, is that people say VII's the best.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've always heard. I know people have their fan favorites, but as far as I know, VII's the best. And I'm not done with it. I'm like very, very close to the end, just doing up some side missions. But I have been going back and watching the first game and like kind of living with that experience and seeing what that was like. Mm. And yeah, I fucking missed out, dude. It's a great story. It's a great the remake's gameplay is awesome. So the remake is fun to play. But even watching the original turn-based and like what they did with the story and the narrative and the character models are cute. Like they grew on me. I used to think they were ugly. But then I realized Polygon PS1 Cloud looks a lot like Polygon Nintendo 64 Link. They look very similar with the blonde hair, blue eyes. And I grew up playing Ocarina of Time. So that was kind of my game growing up. And I totally just missed Final Fantasy VII. Mm. But I was wrong. I was very wrong. It's great. Specifically referencing the story in the original. Now that I know what happens and I'm experiencing it through the remake, I feel like a jackass just not ever giving it a chance.
It has so much character in the original game. Like it's so like for no voice acting, like all the characters, like
the dialogue they wrote for the characters is so good in the original. Yeah. Like reading the character interactions, I'm actually feeling more from the original than I am from the remake from the characters. Yeah.
Later on, like characters like Barret and Tifa, and even the Red 13 who we haven't met yet. Like,
I'm really excited.
Red 13 has such a cool backstory. I can't wait for his whole thing to come to be revealed. Like the Cosmic Canyon, I believe it's called. Where he's from. I love that story. It's so cute.
Is that with the two little lion things running with him?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen clips of that.
Yeah.
Growing up, I've seen Final Fantasy VII everywhere. I've just never known
the story. It's
weird
that you also didn't know that the big...
Spoilers!
This is a spoiler, but like it's the biggest video game death ever. This is always, like this was spoiled for me. Like I had no... I thought this was like a well-known thing, but you didn't know that Aerith dies in the middle of Final Fantasy VII by Sephiroth's hand.
As much shit as I've been talking to, not shit, but like I tell people, like I know video games. Like I've been playing video games my whole life. Okay, that's something I've never known.
I've never known
that Aerith dies in Final Fantasy VII.
Like, that is like the one of the biggest video game deaths of all time.
I saw that scene in the original game on YouTube, and like you and our friend Julian, shout out Julian, told me like that's like one of the biggest video game deaths ever, and I don't even recognize that sequence. Like I've never even seen
that. I saw it way before. I knew like
her getting stabbed through the stomach and her pearl.
I saw
that. Like,
I saw all of it. I'm not sure where I saw it. I just have seen it.
And you know what's crazy? In 2013, after I graduated high school, I came to Orlando to the Hard Rock Cafe theater or whatever,
because
there was a video game orchestra.
Oh yeah, right.
I went to that with my bitch ex girlfriend and the guy there, the lead composer that was running the whole thing, they played a lot of songs from Final Fantasy VII, and they played like the battle theme and the intro and all that. And they had a montage on screen of all the stuff. And like, I don't even remember seeing that there. I remember seeing, you know, random shit from Final Fantasy VII. But yeah, it was blew my mind when I realized that, especially because I really like her in the remake. I'm starting to like just really like being around her. And then I found out she died upon watching the original, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Now, again, who's to say she dies in this remake part two, though?
Right. Well, I know that they're stretching this game out into other stuff. But what I'm interested in, which I know the remake most likely won't get into, is that I found out in the original game, Aerith is like a reincarnation of a being from another.
She's the she is the ancestor of like the first people to land. Her and Sephiroth have like some
spiritual Jesus bullshit going on. Yeah,
they're like the pilgrims. They came to this planet and they stayed here. And
and I didn't know that she was that significant. So knowing that she dies, I'm like, I'm excited to see where the remake goes and the sequels. But
you should look up. When you're done with the... I'm not sure if you should look up now or done with the game, but Crisis Core. Have you heard of Crisis Core?
No. Yes, I've heard the name, but I don't know anything about it.
So it's a prequel to Final Fantasy VII. It leads like pretty much up to Final Fantasy VII, and it tells the story of Zack. You know, you're aware.
Yes,
of Zack.
Yes, I'm now aware of who Zack is.
Yeah, it tells the story of Zack and like, his story is extremely interesting, and just watch like somebody cover the story, like the same shit you watch. Just watch a Crisis Core video for those, because Crisis Core does play a huge part into final, like the end of Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh, well, that answers that. I should watch that before I beat the game, because I like when the experience is over, I have all the information I need to go forward. And the comparison I made on Twitter is that this exact same thing happened to me with Lord of the Rings, because my entire life I fucking hated Lord of the Rings. I didn't want to watch it. I tried watching The Fellowship and I was bored. Then The Hobbit was coming out and I was I wanted to watch The Hobbit. And so people found out I didn't watch Lord of the Rings, and I watched it, and like You Shall Not Pass made sense for the first time. And like watching the trees was fucking boring. I'm like, oh, I see all this. And then the ghost army at the end of the third one, and at the end of that I was like, that was awesome. I was so wrong for 12 years of my life. I feel like a jackass. This is worse though, because I'm a gamer first before a film lover.
I'm a gamer first.
And I did not know that Aerith dies, and I was very taken aback when I found out that out.
That would like that'd be like top five biggest video game deaths. Number five.
What do what do you think the number one video game moment of all time is?
Mario jumping on the first Goomba.
That was my exact thought. That was my exact thought.
Mario jumping
Mario
on the Goomba.
Mario fucking jumping on, realizing that you can only go right, and then you try to go left and you couldn't. So yeah, man, Final Fantasy VII, it's my favorite Final Fantasy game.
That's the bold claim.
Julian told me his is 10.
Which is a very controversial.
Why?
Because 10 is seen as a joke.
It looks, and like, no, it look, looks like
Julian,
a joke.
I'm not saying it's a bad game. I haven't played it, but like, you know, the have you heard of the famous Titus laugh?
Yes.
That's from that.
Oh, see, I know that.
Yeah. Old school Final Fantasy guys hate Final Fantasy like 10 on. I would say they like.
So do old school Final Fantasy people like fuck with 7? Is 7 unanimously
yeah,
like kind
7's of a, unanimously loved by everybody.
It's incredible though. Like, yeah. I finally get it. Yeah. I finally get it.
Some people think it like everybody comes to the conclusion that it's like no less than good, but like everything after I would say Final Fantasy 9, like you could like nitpick every one of those games. Like Final Fantasy 10, like the stories, like, I don't know, but people don't like it. Final Fantasy 11 was a failed MMO game that turned into Final Fantasy 14. Final Fantasy 12 was Final Fantasy 11. I don't know, but you then know Final Fantasy 13. Everybody has a problem with that game, which I like that game.
Like honestly, even before Final Fantasy 7, none of them made any sense to me. I didn't know. I only know Cloud because Big Sword, because Final Fantasy 7 is because Kingdom Hearts. That's the only reason I know who Cloud is.
You know who Leon is.
Leon
from Kingdom Hearts.
He's in Final Fantasy 7?
He's in Final Fantasy 8.
Oh,
he's
another didn't know that.
They're all final. Every of those guys are all Final Fantasy.
I know characters. Sephiroth shows up in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, but he's like a minor.
Yeah,
boss.
But I know he like.
But like
when Sid, I found out he was from Final Fantasy 7, I was like, oh, okay.
You know Sid from Kingdom Hearts? He was like the guy with the goggles and the blonde hair. He's from Final Fantasy 7.
Final Fantasy 7? Have I seen him yet?
No, you haven't seen him.
Oh,
well,
that's why I don't know.
He's a later on character.
I
know.
I've never, even when I played Kingdom Hearts, I didn't know who was. I thought Sora was from Final Fantasy for a long time.
See, I was the same way. I didn't play. I was a kid when I played Kingdom Hearts. I wouldn't know the same shit about Final Fantasy, but I think once I would say when I was like in middle school, I was just like, I just watched a bunch of Final Fantasy.
What is Final Fantasy?
Yeah,
God
I wanted to know
it.
Because it just looked so cool. And then I wanted to play 13.
I was one of those people that grew up thinking it looked gay as fuck for a long time.
It was my aesthetic. It's still my aesthetic.
I gotta say though, man, I'm really like, I'm very glad and relieved that I've experienced Final Fantasy VII, but I'm actually excited for the future because I actually want to just play the original now.
Yeah, the original holds up extremely well. Yeah. Like it's fun to play. Like if you buy it on PS4, like if they have so much like assistance for you, if like, oh, this boss is too hard, you can like press right stick
because
to fill
all
your health and limit gauges and
the
stuff.
Amount of stuff that you can do in the remake with your weapons and materia, it's a little overwhelming, but I've learned it and I figured it out.
If you follow a guide,
but the original one, they're always going to be harder. Like there's so much going on, shit.
But like if you didn't want to die, you could just press one button and you wouldn't die.
I saw something endearing and cool. This will be the last thing I'll say about Final Fantasy VII. But this guy on YouTube that I was watching said like in the code of the original game, one of the villains from the Turks, Rude, the bald guy with the glasses, has a crush on Tifa. So anytime he's fighting her, he never attacks her. And if you go into the code, you see like things to do to avoid like attacking Tifa. And like he'll only attack her if all your other people in your party are dead and there's nobody else to attack. I thought that was pretty cool because it's like part of the story, but they put it into the gameplay mechanics too. There's a lot of cool stuff in the original that I saw on YouTube that I appreciate from a game design standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like, again, that's why I fucking hate the Avengers. That game is awful game design. Honestly, right here, I'm going to say it. Avengers is my least favorite game this year. I didn't even play it, but it's the worst game of the year for me. Worse than Fortnite.
Yeah.
Worse than whatever the fuck.
Worse than Fortnite.
Worse than Genshin Impact.
That's the worst thing you can say.
Worse than Genshin Impact. Worse than Anthem. Because it's the Avengers. Yeah. They fucking fucked up the Avengers, bro. I was so hyped for that.
Yeah, we were all hyped for that. And we saw the trailer and we're like, ugh.
Saw the trailer and just followed my gut. I'm like, this looks like ass. Sorry out there if you play it and enjoy it. You're listening to our show, okay? You hear me?
You hear me? I don't have anything else to say other than excited for we got one more full week of no PS5 and then we're on PS5 launch week. So
yeah,
a bunch of stuff is going to start creeping out. I think
when does Miles Morales come out?
Same launch day, November 12th, I believe.
So even if I don't get the PS5, I have something to do.
Yeah. I can be a part of the conversation.
I don't give a fuck about being part of the conversation. I just know that a new piece of tech is out and I want it. Has nothing to do. I'm not watching people's fucking unboxings. I already fucking seen the console.
So many PS5 unboxings.
I've seen the console already. I've seen it.
Jeff Keighley going over there like he's filming some porn video.
Jeff Keighley's overdoing it. Like, I get if you're a YouTuber and you get it, you got to show it. That's why they sent it to you. But
you kind of feel like a little whore.
Yeah, right.
Little man whore selling this PS5.
Oh, the PS5.
Hit me and fuck in it. Oh, man, that's really cool.
It's like, lick the tape, lick the console, lick the controller.
Thanks, PlayStation.
You'd rather just buy it, huh? And give people your honest take, not be sucking the man's dick.
I respect that more than I would say. Again.
What if our podcast gets to that level? On the level, dude.
If we get to the level where PlayStation is sending us PS5s, like, I would probably take it.
You'd sell out. You're telling me you'd sell out.
It depends.
Now.
I would honestly have to consult the audience because if someone says, if it's like 95 to 5, say get it, then don't. I'd probably get it. But then if it's like overwhelmingly no, I'd say I wouldn't get it.
They'd be like, oh, you guys fucking changed. You sold out.
You're fucking sell out.
And then we're gonna be wearing fucking Biden Harris shirts.
Come visit our Animal Crossing island.
No shade here.
AOC.
AOC got them gazongas. You know what I'm saying?
This has been a great podcast, huh?
No.
Oh, come on, man.
Who is that on your computer screen?
That is a scene from Joe's apartment. It's the end. They're falling into a stretched manhole. And
that's like, the very end. Their mouths extend like a fucking cartoon.
Yeah. I love it.
Not good. Not a good movie.
Not good.
Anything else you have to say on your birthday before we go?
My wife.
That's it, just my wife.
I'm not watching anything other than Fargo.
History repeats itself, by the way. People are doing Borat impressions again.
I love it.
Never thought we'd live to see this day, huh?
I was going around every day, like, after we watched them, I was like, I can't believe, oh my god.
Yeah, it's crazy how
you just fall
into Borat has fucking just taken over all over again, man.
It's awesome.
Yep.
Go Borat.
You gonna follow the lawsuits that could come after this whole thing with Borat now?
Sure, I'll follow it. I'll sign up. I'll be like, sue his ass, get him.
All right, man. This has been a podcast, I think.
Mm-hmm. How long?
My wife, exactly an hour.
Wow.
Yep.
How about that?
Any messages for the people?
I'm just 25 and alive.
There it is. All right.
It is what it is, y'all.
It is what it is.
Make sure you go out there and buy the J Balvin meal.
If everybody on our show votes and sends me a picture of it, I'll buy you a J Balvin meal personally.
Wow.
Yep.
Big Mac, no picos.
Is that what it is?
It's a Big Mac, no pickles, large fry, and I think a McFlurry.
Would you rather get the J Balvin meal or the Travis Scott meal? Or the Trisha Paytas meal?
The Trisha Paytas meal is like for garbage rats. Or the 10-piece nugget, large fry, orange Fanta, and sweet and sour sauce.
Why do you remember it?
It was so disgusting.
Cheesy McDonald's every day. twice a week for the last 10 years.
It's Wait, disgusting.
That's every day, twice every, a week.
Every day, twice a week.
You know what I'm trying to say.
She eats a lot of McDonald's. She's a gross pig.
She's a gross pig. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, hopefully on election day.